everyone, and welcome to Developer Tea. My name is Jonathan Cottrell. I'm your host, and today I have the privilege of interviewing Richard Schneeman. Richard works at Heroku. He works on Ruby stuff at Heroku. He also helps run Keep Ruby Weird. It's a Ruby conference. And he created Code Triage, and he also created Docs Doctor. So he's very active in the open source world. And in general, he's just a smart and entertaining person. So I really enjoyed interviewing him. Make sure you go and follow him on Twitter at @schneems. That's S-C-H-N-E-E-M-S, at @schneems. And let him know how much you are enjoying his interview on Developer Tea with just a massive barrage of tweets. While you're listening to this episode, why not go ahead and open the app that you're listening to the episode in? And if you haven't already subscribed, just click subscribe. I guess you're probably going to touch subscribe. And what that'll do is it'll allow you to automatically have some kind of alert or notification whenever the next episode of Developer Tea is. And that happens to be most likely the second part of the interview with Richard Schneeman. So if you like this particular interview, then you probably want to listen to the second one. Click subscribe and you won't miss out on the second one. Now I'm going to introduce Richard Schneeman. Thanks for coming on the show, Richard.
Hey, thanks for having me.
I'm really excited to talk to you because I've watched quite a few of your talks online. And it's interesting because a lot of what you've talked about has been like kind of crossbreed talks between your experience at Georgia Tech. You often will mention that in sort of the beginning of your talk, You'll talk about how you were at Georgia Tech, and then you'll relate an experience or like a practice from another field with something in Ruby land. And I've always thought that was really interesting. One of them was about like a refrigerator and testing and how, can you tell me a little bit about that?
So I used to make refrigerators for General Electric.
Sounds like a blast.
Yeah. If you have a General Electric refrigerator right now and there's something wrong with it, it's totally my fault. we had this really complicated spreadsheet to try and predict how energy efficient our refrigerators were going to be. And that was kind of my first introduction into programming from a mechanical engineer standpoint. It was not pretty. At the end of the day, we had to figure out and verify like, hey, are all of these equations correct? Did we model everything correctly? And they turned around and they would actually load up a refrigerator full of stuff and put thermocouples in it and then put it in a room with a very controlled temperature, and they would actually test it and run it through its paces. And so sometimes whenever I'm coding or I'm like, man, you know, I just can't test this thing, or I can't figure out how to do this thing. I'm like, let's put it in a hot room. Let's actually run it as if it was in production. You know, how could we do that? And from that experience, I've had a couple of opportunities. I work at Heroku. I maintain the Heroku Ruby build pack, and when I started, it wasn't tested at all. It's like, hey, change this thing, modify this thing, and deploy it, and it's going to affect millions of applications. No tests. Make sure you don't have any typos. Granted, we would still spin up an app and like how we would test it is manually. Like we would deploy one app with this build pack and make sure the app worked. But then you kind of run into all these edge cases and like edge cases on edge cases, like Rails 2, Ruby 1.8.7, this kind of stuff. And so the solution to that was actually I wrote a little framework that helps you spin up Heroku apps and then push code to them and then verify that the deploys worked, and you can do some other things like run Heroku run bash. And it's been incredibly helpful.
Yeah, without tests, that's support ticket driven development, which sounds awful.
Well, I mean, so one of the really nice things is sometimes we get these customers who are just like insane, like, you know, their hair's on fire. They're just like, you know, so upset, and they're just like, hey, it's got to be the Heroku is like totally messed me up. Like, it was working, now it's not working. And like, if we only get one of those tickets, I can guarantee you it's not Heroku. like most, well, 99.9% of the time it's like, oh, you know, hey, look, you put a single equal in instead of a double equal here or something, you know, like that. But
yeah. And then they send you a check for your time, right?
Well, they hopefully stay on the platform.
Yeah, yeah. I use Heroku literally every day. I'm sure the value that you've added by putting tests in that build pack, or the multiple build packs, I guess, infinite number of them, is untold for me personally, even, I'm sure. So. That's awesome. So you went from building refrigerators to working at Heroku. Somewhere in the middle, you worked somewhere else. I believe you said you worked at Gowalla, right?
Yeah, I worked at Gowalla for about 2 years-ish. We got acquired by Facebook, and that was kind of the death of Gowalla. And apparently,
yeah, sad day.
Yeah, apparently Facebook doesn't hire a ton of Ruby developers, surprisingly enough.
Yeah, supposedly everything is still kind of on a PHP core over there.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
that's what they say.
They're doing. They actually have their own VM. It's a hip hop VM. It's like
that's right.
PHP interpreted into. C++, I think, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Super fast, I'm sure.
Yeah. And all of the joys of the PHP interface. I've modified some WordPress plugins and whatnot, so I can't really talk. And it is PHP is a great language. It's a lot of people use it. It is by far way more popular than Ruby in terms of the number of users.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Yeah, and also we recently Heroku in the past year, maybe 2 years. I'm not a time. I have a really hard time keeping track of time. Like,
especially, you have support for PHP, right?
Yeah, we have support for PHP, and we have a dedicated maintainer for it. And that's actually why I know so much about like hip hop VM and, you know, all of these things. Talking to him, and I have such a newfound respect for for PHP and like everything that it can do, and just, you know, kind of out of the box, it just so it's like it's blazingly fast, and you can just like connect your database right into your view and just like go for it, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because I actually have a love-hate relationship with PHP. A good portion of my job every day, I'm writing PHP.
Oh, wow.
Primarily WordPress stuff, you know. It's agency-style work. And so our bread and butter has been WordPress sites. Mm-hmm. And I worked with Jeffrey Way, who does the Laravel, Laracasts, basically. Mm-hmm. But he worked with me at Tuts Plus, which I write for Tuts Plus on occasion. Mm-hmm. And he's actually in Chattanooga. So that's where I still have a bit more respect for PHP than the average like Ruby developer might would. But
yeah, yeah. One of my favorite, I guess it's a tradition. Every time I've seen Charlie Somerville at RubyConf, he always wears a PHP shirt.
Nice. That's great.
Yeah, totally.
And it speaks to the the humor of the Ruby community anyway.
Mom. Yeah, yes, absolutely.
So let's switch gears. You work on quite a few open source efforts, not just projects, but I wouldn't call them like it's not just like a thing on GitHub that people can go and, you know, contribute a pull request, you know, or whatever. You actually have these other kind of conceptual open source efforts, right? Mm-hmm. So you have Code Triage and Docs Doctor, both of which are kind of encouraging the the average developer or the even the beginner developer to get involved with committing, you know, code triage being, you know, fixing issues, bug fixes, and then Docs Doctor being documentation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I've done a lot with open source and recently got Rails commit access. So if you need something merged into master, let me know.
That's awesome.
I'm super excited about that. And one of the things that I thought about when I was joining Heroku is they said, you know, okay, we highly encourage you to use the platform and we, you know, we want you to run your own app. So you get to, you know, dog food it and like real apps, not just like a test app or whatever. And I was like, oh, what, you know, what could I build that would, you know, it, basically if I have free Heroku credits, which I kind of do for this kind of stuff, it's like, you know, what could I give to the community or build for the community that would make some sort of a lasting impact? And so yeah, these services kind of program programmers, so to speak. It if you're interested in getting involved in like open source, or you want to be a better programmer, you can sign up for the first one I made was codetriage.com, and it will send you the one open issue per project per day. And we actually added a little bit of rate limiting there. So it's not quite as, if you want to take a break, it's fine. It'll kind of, it'll be like, oh, you haven't opened up your email for like 3 days. We'll like, we'll chill out for a little bit.
That's funny.
But, yeah, I, and that's kind of, a lot of people were like, hey, can I tell it when to send me an email? And like, I want to tell it when to send me an email. And then I was like, okay, I hear what you're saying, but I think I have a better idea. And then I implemented that, and then everybody's like, they're pretty happy with that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so I guess I also want to talk about recently I've heard a lot of people, I guess, just talking out loud or on Reddit or Hacker News or wherever they're hanging out, wherever I'm hanging out, I guess, otherwise I wouldn't be reading it. And a lot of them are saying things like, hey, you know, shouldn't Heroku or like, you know, GitHub or whoever, like just, you know, throw down a ton of money on supporting, you know, Ruby or supporting Rails. And it's like, well, number one, they kind of already do. Yeah. Like Heroku sponsors three Mats, Nobu, and Koichi for Ruby. And then, I mean, I'm not full-time Rails, but I, you know, they pay my salary and let me work on it, which is pretty nice.
Sure.
But like, you know, it's the cost benefit there. If one company stands to gain a tremendous amount by something being fast or performant or, you know, these new features, kind of taking a look at V8 in Google, like if V8 is fast, then, you know, a lot more people will use Chrome, and then that will gain significant market share for them. And with a lot of other open source projects, it's not clearly such a win. And it makes a lot more sense to actually spread out the, instead of just one company saying like, you know, here you go, here's, you know, massive paychecks to whoever.
Hope for the best at that point, even.
Exactly. Right? Exactly. It makes a lot more sense for the programmers who are actually running into bugs or saying, oh, I really wish this existed, or I wish it worked this way. I wish there was a better error message. I wish it was faster. If the people who are actually using it day to day get in there and make it better. And so I think this mantra of like, oh, you know, GitHub should totally do something about this, or you know, insert company name here, is just sort of like some people just taking kind of a back seat and being like, oh, it's too hard for me. It's like I don't have time for it. And there's all these excuses to getting involved in open source. So one of the things I'm advocating, recently is just telling your boss like, okay, we're not deploying on Friday or like the second half of the day on Friday. And when he's like, why? It's like, oh, because I don't want the entire team to be here on, you know, till Sunday, Saturday morning, like debugging whatever, you know, whatever.
Broke.
Yeah, exactly. Like we actually went, something that has been implemented at Heroku since I started is for the build pack is no non-critical deploys on Friday.
I like that. That's good.
Well, and for us, it's like you might be like, oh, well, your automated test should catch that and these other things should catch that. And it's like, that is true. I guarantee you we have every like permutation of every edge case of a customer running it on our platform. Like we have – anyway, so yes. So this is something like we actually do. And then while you're just sitting there being like, oh, I really want to deploy. It's like, oh, hey, guess what? I'm going to go fix this bug that I ran into in Rails, or I'm going to go fix it in Rack, or I'm going to check out and do some performance profiling. And so I've been calling this this Fun Day Friday, and like I'm like – We need some awesome designers or something to make like a Fun Day Friday like website, and then like print out like business cards, and you can hand it to your boss and be like, hey, it's an official thing. And or even like asking what like when you're getting interviewed and being like, hey, do you do anything like this? Is this something that you support? And like putting these types of contributions on the table. You know, a lot of developers are just bombarded by like recruiter requests, you know, hey, yeah, follow me on LinkedIn or whatever. And the you know, companies are actively being like, okay, well, besides free sodas, like, what can we give you that would like actually make you happy? You know? And it's like, oh, hey, you know, like goodwill and working on a community project and actually getting smarter at the same time. And mm-hmm. and it's not like you're just throwing away. Like, I hate the term giving back to open source.
Yep.
But it's like, for me, it's totally giving forward. I am so insanely selfish with all of my contributions.
Sure.
I am like, future Richard does like never wants to see this error ever again.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, and I mean, I think a lot of people, they don't understand that this isn't just you going and fixing a bug like you normally would in your own bad code. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not what this is. This is like going and putting your opinion in something and like making that become, usually it's something that like you don't like the way that it works and it needs to work in a different way that is better. You know, it may not necessarily be like, this is, you know, parsing something incorrectly, I'm just going to go fix it, mm-hmm. which that stuff exists too. But a lot of the time, especially with something that's maturing, it's more like opinion development, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And, like for me, it was such a drastic change in, the level of involvement and care, especially with like with Rails. Like you submit a pull request to Rails and people are actually looking at your code. Like there's an actual code review process where, you know, some other places, like with some other people I've worked with, it's kind of just been like a rubber stamping, and like you get to develop different code styles and learn how to interact with people. And some of this is actually, it's not terribly easy, and it's not terribly isn't just like the most common sense thing. And to bring it all back, that's actually why I ended up writing Code Triage, because I had a lot of people say like, hey, I want to get involved with Rails. And I'm like, and if you talk to, at the time, I wasn't a contributor. And if you talk to the contributors, they're like, oh, hey, we have a ton of open issues. No one is reading them. No one is looking at pull requests. Nobody's doing anything. You know, it's basically just four people. And
interesting.
Like, if you could do this, it'd be hugely helpful. And it'll be like, yeah. And nobody would, because it's too daunting of a task. And this, it's a really small commitment where you're just like, I'm going to get an email. Like, maybe I'll open it. Maybe I won't. And for the first, when I first had the idea and I started using my own product, like the first maybe couple weeks, I just like lurked. I would just like read it and like look at how people were talking. And I'd be like, oh, okay, you know, I kind of got this. And then then after a while, somebody opened up an issue, and I was like, oh, you know what? I know one of the other contributors is going to tell you this. Like, you know, I forget what it was, but it's like, you know, Rails doesn't take feature suggestions. If you want a feature suggestion in Rails, you have to issue a pull request. So just like letting people know this type of information, it's incredibly valuable. And then a step above and beyond that is going and actually making those contributions. And that can be really challenging and really terrifying. But for that, I recommend people start with documentation. Like, it's hugely, hugely valuable. Like, how many times have you, like, found Rails API or something, and you're reading through the documentation, and like you just assume the documentation is right, and so you kind of, like, I don't know, copy and paste that little snippet or something, and then 20 minutes of debugging later, you're like, oh, that code was wrong. Like,
yeah,
like it.
Well, I did that today. Mm-hmm. Like, it wasn't on Rails, but it was another project, but the docs are just like 5 months behind or something.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
awful, and yeah. and so you're just sitting there like, well, this is supposed to be right, you know, like you trust the documentation.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And that's one of those things where it really is, even if we paid a dedicated docs writer, like the documentation is not going to be nearly like even half as good as people. It's like, if you hit a bug, if the documentation was confusing, like, it's a really weird mindset, but like, you can go out there and it's malleable. You can change it. You can help everyone, which is such a powerful concept to me.
Yeah, most definitely. I ran into an interesting thing, and before I talk about it, I want to take a quick sponsor break. Speaking of learning, and we'll do that real quick. What if you could learn to build anything in 1 month? Well, with onemonth.com, you can. 1 month students learn to code by building real Rails and iOS apps. You know how I feel about education and learning, and let me tell you something. 1 month is a fantastic place to start, and that's because 1 month provides focused, accelerated learning courses entirely online, which means you don't have to ask your boss to give you off days to go learn. For example, in the 1 month Rails course, you'll learn Ruby and how to build applications with the Rails framework. You'll learn how to write HTML and CSS and how to use Git and the command line. You'll learn about S3, from Amazon Web Services. You'll learn how to add user registration support to your application and launch it on Heroku. In addition, 1 month has a bunch of other classes like HTML and iOS programming. And the best part is, if you get stuck, there's a real person ready to guide you while you learn. That's a real person, not an automated machine. So go now to onemonth.com/developer T. Now, it's a special URL for developer T listeners that gives you a one-time 25% off discount. Enrollment is typically $99, but if you use onemonth.com/developer T, you'll get 25% off. That means that you'll be paying less than $3 a day and learning how to build a real Rails application in just 1 month. onemonth.com/developer T. So I actually signed up for Docs Doctor. I watched your talk and signed up, and I got in. There was an interesting situation where I started documenting something because I had never done it before. Actually, it was the first time that I had tried to commit documentation.
Mm-hmm.
And as it turns out, that thing was marked as no doc. And which I feel like is probably a pretty common scenario in Rails, well, in almost any project, because there's all these private methods that are being called that aren't intended to be public. And I actually made the point, and I'd love to know what you think about this, in a comment thread, I made the point that even private methods should be documented, right? Because there's people inside of the Rails team that need to know what those methods do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I totally agree. And so I wholeheartedly agree. And I will also say it's really difficult, just because this is actually a legacy problem with Rails. I have totally documented no doc classes. Like, I did a bunch of work in an Active Record class that hadn't been touched for months. And it was just, all of the use cases were really, really, really confusing for it. And so the way I learned it was by going through the tests and then writing documentation for it. So I knew, so it made sense to me. Like, once I knew it well enough, I could write documentation for it. And they actually did accept that documentation, but that was mostly because it was nowhere near public facing. It was like very, very obvious. You should never use it.
Right.
But Rails, for if you don't know, Rails has this thing where you can just put a comment and then say no doc. And Rails is using this instead of just saying, hey, this doesn't have documentation. That is how Rails designates and says, this is not part of the public API. We can change this and we don't have to notify you. If you're using this in Rails 4.2.0, like, it might change in 4.2.1 and we're not going to warn you.
Right. Or the method may just not even be there anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, I mean, I do agree that we need some kind of a way of like standardizing and telling people that, but like it's kind of, a lot of people don't even know that. Like they just use right. any method and they're like, oh no, doc, or like they don't even, but you know, from a documentation standpoint, it is good to be able to go back and say like, hey, you can't be too upset. Like, I mean, it would be nice if there's a better way. Internally, we've talked a little bit. I've actually expressed some interest in moving over to away from RDoC and to I think either like Yard. I love Yard internals. Doc's Doctor mm-hmm. uses Yard internals, and I guess I don't know if we mentioned, but what Doc's Doctor does it. You sign up for something like Rails or any kind of a Ruby project, and it will run it will parse the documentation and find methods that have missing documentation. It's like, hey, this method doesn't have any documentation. Maybe you should write some. Or alternatively, if you don't feel comfortable doing that yet, it'll just send you documented methods, and you're like, oh, cool, I didn't know Rails had this method. And like you get to read some documentation. It's kind of a fun little
teaching. It's a method of learning, really.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, just kind of bite-sized chunks. That's the one consistent theme across all of these. I agree. I don't know what to call them. They're projects. they're services. There's sure. it's like open source services.
Code bases, I guess, is a So it's interesting that you mentioned that. I didn't mean to interrupt you there if you were going to say something else about Doc's Doctor.
Oh, and I did want to say like the driving motivation behind writing Doc's Doctor was I mentioned I worked with a whole bunch of different people in different languages, and they love their language like more than any other language in the world. So it's really interesting talking with these people. And at one point in time, I was talking with our main Python guy, and he was like, okay, why? I was like, why is Python the best language in the world? And he's like, the documentation. And I was like, okay, fine. Like we're Ruby, we can beat this. We can do this. Like, let's what can we do to make the documentation better? And then and then Doc's Doctor.
Thanks so much for listening to Developer Tea, and thank you to Richard for coming on the show. The next part of the interview will be available in the next episode of Developer Tea. If you're enjoying the show, make sure you follow me on Twitter at Developer Tea, and you can always reach out to me at developertea@gmail.com. If you're enjoying the show, make sure you leave a review in iTunes, or if you want to support the show, go to developertea.com/donate. Of course, you can always find show notes at developertea.com. Thanks for listening to the show, and until next time, enjoy your tea.